Luke chapter number 2, verse number 40. And the child, that child is Jesus, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Well, let's pray. Amen. So in this story, we see Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And Joseph's not Jesus' father. Mary's Jesus' mother. Y'all follow me on that. But we see them going to the Jerusalem to worship. They go to Jerusalem at that time, at that point in history, God had set it up that the worship was done at the temple. And each year they would go to the temple and a sacrifice would be offered for atonement for sins. And it was a big journey. It's not like for us, you know, get into the car. I remember when I was a kid, it was a big deal just going to Santa Fe. Dirt road, going through neighborhoods and everything. You know, I can't even recognize it from when I was a kid now. And there's some roads out here, Highway 3 was just 2 roads. You know, it seemed a little harder to get around. But it's hard to imagine back then. They didn't get up in the car. They didn't load up. And it was a day's journey, 2 days' journey to go anywhere. So they didn't travel by themselves. So they went with family members. They loaded up the camel. They loaded up everything they needed. And they were going to Jerusalem. They had to have food for the way. They had to have everything in place when they went to Jerusalem and they went there and offered the sacrifice because they were keeping the law. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was perfect in every way. I just want to take some time today and look at our fellowship with Jesus Christ. When they got to Jerusalem and they were there to worship, they were there to sacrifice, they were doing everything, they were in the will of God, they were doing everything they were supposed to do, and they get so caught up in things that when they pack up and they leave, they get a day's journey before they realize that Jesus isn't with them. Now, some of you will remember this story, but there's a story in our life that sticks in my mind because it scares me when I think about it. Now, in Georgia, we do sales and stuff. We love secondhand stuff. Not so much now because we have a hard time getting rid of it. We're trying to get better at getting rid of it than getting it. But we do secondhand stuff, and we do sales and craft shows and things like that. Not so much craft shows, but just selling stuff. We're trying to get rid of it. There's a big garage sale in Guyton. Y'all may not understand. It's Guyton, right? There's a big garage sale in Guyton, and y'all might not understand this because all these towns are big out here. But you picture just Highway 3 in Dickinson, and you picture this little strip out here being a little longer, going through the center of town, and everybody just pulls up their vehicle. You pay the fee, and you park on the grass, and you put up your table behind your vehicle, and you sell your stuff. And, man, there's a crowd of people in that town. You know, and I'm not talking Houston crowd. I'm talking a crowd of people in that small town. And everybody doesn't know everybody, but we're lined up there. We back the van up, and we pull that junk out we've been wanting to get rid of, and we set it out on the table. And, boy, I tell you what, I'm in the groove. I used to think I could be a salesman until I tried to do it for a living. But this was before I knew better. Set it all out there, and And her mom was down the way. I don't know how far, half mile, I don't know how far it was. But down the way, and her mom had donuts. Cinnamon rolls, thank you. You got to get the story right. Her mom had cinnamon rolls down there, and we had visited her with her first thing in the morning. We go down there, and we get cinnamon rolls, and, you know, we had those, and we go back, and then the crowd starts to come, and there's people everywhere. And the kids were little, you know, they were just little. He had the two girls, and he had Caleb. And Caleb was a cute little fella, you know. He's grown up into a frog now, but he was a cute little fella then. And I mean a little fella. Now he's taller than me. I had to admit it finally. So Caleb and them, as far as we know, they're in the back of this big old van we got. And they're back there playing. And we're up here wheeling and dealing. And I'm not doing a very good job of it. One guy tells me my stuff's worthless. I get mad and give it to him. I wasn't making much money. But all this is going on, and we think that the kids are back in the van. They're safe. We see one of the kids, okay. And then as I'm wheeling and dealing, this woman comes up and says, "Is anyone missing a child?" And I think, no, that must be a stupid parent because I know where my kids are. They're in the van playing. And she says, "Is anyone missing a child named Caleb?" I said, "Well, that's a coincidence. My child's name is Caleb." And then she holds him out. And there's Caleb. Somehow he was in two places at one time. But I only saw him out here. I opened, that's my son. And then it hits you that you had lost track of your son. That your son had gotten away. He decided he wanted some more cinnamon rolls. But you know, when you're a kid, you don't realize how far away it is. You don't realize how many people. And he disappeared into that crowd heading down to get some cinnamon rolls. And he didn't make it. I don't know how far he got. Huh? Two. He wanted two cinnamon rolls? Oh, he was 2 years old. That puts it in context, doesn't it? So our two-year-old, yeah. You look at him now, what a... Y'all sheltering him, helicopter parents? No, he was 2 years old and he'd gotten away, gotten out of our grip. And at first there's embarrassment, and then there's shame. Actually, there's fear, then there's embarrassment, then there's shame. There's fear that he was out of your sight, that there could have been a point where you would have never seen him again. And thank God for the woman that thought enough about him. I'll get upset thinking about it. To bring him back. But you can just imagine the fear. I mean, they go to Jerusalem and that place is packed. This is the time of the sacrifice. This is the time of the offering. This is the time when all the Jews that are out and about in the land, they come in and they're offering their sacrifice for the year for sin. And there's festivities going on, and there's people hawking goods, and they're selling pigeons to be sacrificed, and they're selling turtle doves. They're selling animals for the sacrifice. They're selling different things, goods and wares, and people that forgot something are buying something. But there's all this activity going on, and there's all these people that are celebrating. And if there's a time to feel close to God, it's right there at the sacrifice where your sins are being forgiven, where that atonement's being made for your sin. And so they gather there, and they get excited, man, and they pack up and make the journey there. And there's something about being on a journey. You're not worried. It's a little vacation, maybe. And they get into Jerusalem and they have Jesus. And she knows he's the Son of God. She's been told, an angel told her that she would have the Son of God. That she would bear a child. And he was born to her and he was precious. And she's had him for 12 years and she's watched him grow. And then they get away from Jerusalem. And the whole reason they're there is to worship God. And they get all caught. I could see them loading up. Have you got the pots? You got the pans? I got those. I got those. Did you get this? Did you get? Yeah, I got that. I got that. Joseph, what are you doing with all these souvenirs? We don't need this. We come here every. Mary, just put them in the camel. We got to go. I know. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But I mean, there's a lot of activity that goes on. And they load up the camel and they're there with friends and their family. Because you don't make that trip alone. And so they're traveling with their friends and their family, and they're walking along the way. Oh, that was a great time over in Jerusalem, wasn't it? Oh, yes, it was. And did you see, oh, such and so from over in Bethlehem? Oh, yes, I did. And I talked to them, and would you believe that they're, and they just get going. They get going on the way, as they, and they get a day's journey. And it's like, tell Jesus to, you know, I hadn't seen him for a little while. Well, I think he's with Aunt Jo. Aunt Elizabeth. Go check with Aunt Elizabeth. I'm just painting a picture here. Y'all forgive me here. But, I mean, the idea that they get moving along. Everything's been going. And they get along the way. And where's Jesus? Did you see him? I hadn't seen him. And she, the fear begins to build as she walks down the way. And was he with you? No, he wasn't with me. I thought he was with you. No, he wasn't with me. Well, maybe he's over there with such and so. And you go up the line and you check, and everybody else is content and they're happy. And they start to get a little worried for you because they see the worry on her face. And they see the tension kind of building, but they're, you know, it's still festivity time for them, and they see that worry begin to build, and it's like, Joseph, I can't find him. And he said, I can't find him either. And they said, we got to go back. I don't know where he is, but we got to go back. We got to find, oh, Lord, please forgive us. And they've lost Jesus. They got caught up in everything, and they lost Jesus. They go back to Jerusalem, and the Bible tells us that they search for 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. The Son of God, the precious gift. Mary, thou art highly favored among women. That precious gift that she was given. And that fear that builds up, and that shame, that embarrassment. And she looks and she's, what happened? Lord, where is he? And as they walk through Jerusalem, and there's people hawking goods, and there's the men out there selling things, and pots, pans over here, and she's looking for Jesus and bumping into people and walking through the crowd, and just the fear is built up. And said, let's go back to the temple, because that's the last place we saw him. They go back to the temple. And as they get closer, they hear some old men out there talking, some rabbis, and they're talking. And they can't quite see, but they're talking. That always takes place. These men are always debating. They're always arguing things about the Bible, getting down to the theological split hairs, you know. And they hear that going on, and they begin to walk to the temple. Where could he be? Because this is the last. Where did you see him last, Joseph? Last place I saw him was here at the temple. Me too. So they go back to the temple, and as they walk in, they hear this conversation taking place. And then they hear a child's voice. And a mother knows her child's voice. A mother knows her child's scream or cry, we should say. I've seen mothers outside of a daycare and hear the cry from inside, and there's 30 kids, and they know which one's theirs. And they hear this conversational tone, and this, as they approach, they hear that child's voice, and Mary said, there he is. And Joseph, where? I don't see him. I don't have to see him. I hear his voice. He's over here. And as they walk in, there he is, and he's talking to the rabbis and the priests. And they'd ask him, he was listening to them. Then he'd ask them a question. And we can only imagine what kind of questions were being asked. Why do you think Moses struck that rock when they were in the wilderness? I don't know what he asked, but he knew all things. He was the creator. Without him was not anything made that was made. But he was still in the flesh, and he was still growing. And he would ask questions. He had the Spirit of God on him. He was God. And he'd ask those questions, and they hear it. And as they get closer, that fear begins to melt away. Mary begins to get a little upset. She says, why have you done this to us? Don't you know that we've been looking for you? We've been looking for 3 days. We got out there a day's journey. We've been 4 days. We haven't seen you. And she's not trying to be mean, but she's scared. And Jesus looks at her and says, "Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business?" And she's stunned. Well, let me tell you, you say, how does this apply to you? Well, I can tell you, in our Christian life, we can be doing the right things. We can be going to church. We can be working. We can be doing things. We can be caught up in all the activities of religious worship. And we can get away from God. We can lose Jesus. I've been in churches. I've been around programs. And believe me, I am not pushing for laziness. That's not what I'm pushing for. You understand that? I think that we ought to be working for the Lord. I think we ought to be doing things for the Lord. I think that we ought to be pushing ourselves. But we can get caught up in our daily lives. And it can happen in all kinds of ways. It's not just in church. But here they were in Jerusalem. They were doing the sacrifices. They were doing what they were supposed to do. Get so caught up in the activities and lose track of Jesus Christ. In churches, you can have vacation Bible school. You can have Wednesday night Bible study. You can have home team on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. You can have senior saints on Saturday. You can have Bible study upon Bible study. You can have, or usually it leads into, we can have the church softball team. We can do this. We can have a church bowling team. We can witness to them on the bowling team. We can have this. We can have a play. We can act out a play about the Bible. We can get caught up in this and that. We can have singing. There's any number of things you can do. People can get caught up in things. Y'all may not know it, but Dee Dee can play guitar. But see, while I was out here, can I use this? I already did. They're going to wonder what I'm talking about. Yeah. Y'all used to get mad about me picking on her. I guess you can get mad again. But it's an example. Because, you know, out in Georgia, and I'm sure here, anywhere, you have groups that sing, and they go to church, and they sing, and people love to hear them. You know? And I remember Brother Grady, he was my pastor in Georgia. Little church, Calvary Baptist Church. He was my pastor. He's the one I surrendered to preach under. I surrendered to preach under Jesus Christ, but he was my pastor when I surrendered to preach. And Brother Grady told me, he was just some of those times, I didn't get to spend enough time with him, but one of those times he told me about a group that they had come by this church to sing. They had their bus, and he went out there to tell them something, and they're all sitting around drinking beer and smoking cigarettes. And it's just... You can lose Jesus while serving God. Dee Dee didn't do that. She wants me to let you know she didn't get caught up in drinking and smoking and chewing and hanging out with those that do. What had happened was, when I was out here, I didn't know this. I knew him. We had a member in our church, Brother Hughes, and he's an older fella. He's 80-something. To give you an idea about Brother Hugh, he fell off his roof at 80 years old. Doctor said, "What were you doing on the roof at 80 years old?" He said, "Well, Doc, I couldn't hardly fix it on the ground." We're talking a tough man. And a long time ago, back in the 50s, when you had the rockabilly up in Detroit, you had the Detroit country music movement, he was kind of part of that. As a matter of fact, he's in the... memorialized in a couple places. It's not that foreign, Brother Charlie. So he worked with her and was teaching her how to play guitar, and I guess they were going to different churches and playing. But there came a point where Dee Dee realized she really liked doing that. Do you understand what I'm saying? She put it down because she liked it a little too much, because it could take her away from actually having fellowship with God. She was feeling herself lifted up. She really liked the praise she was getting. You understand? And I'm not trying to lift my wife up as a saint. She is. no matter what y'all think. But it can happen to any of us. It can happen to a preacher that gets up in the pulpit and, buddy, he just gets full of himself. It can happen to any of us. We can get caught up doing things for God and we can lose Jesus. I've told you before, your fellowship's the most important thing you can maintain. On that day of salvation, on that day, that rapture, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about every man's work should be tried. I wear y'all out with that verse. You know why? Because one day you're going to tell everybody, well, you know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where'd that come from? Oh, Brother Keith. How'd I learn that? But our fellowship is the most important thing. You get saved, and we're looking in 2 Peter. We ask you to come to Sunday school. We're going to be looking at seven things to add to your faith. But your fellowship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing. You coming to church, you should do that. You should. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, even more so as you see the day approaching. And buddy, we see the day approaching. We see things happening that they couldn't imagine years ago. We shouldn't forsake assembling of ourselves. We shouldn't forsake doing things. We shouldn't be lazy. But we got to be real careful. We start doing things that take us away from God. And that doesn't just apply. That can apply to Sunday school teachers. That can apply in music ministry. That can apply to preachers. It was the ones who lost Jesus. It was the ones who knew him best. It was the ones who were closest to him. It was his family that lost him. It's saved, blood-bought, born-again Christians that can lose Jesus. Someone who's turned their life over to Christ, who's asked Jesus to come into their heart, asked to be put into Christ, asked to be saved, and just gets caught up in this world, just gets caught up in activity after activity. They were faithful. They went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. It could be a regular tither. It could be someone that's in church so much that they got the pew groove. Y'all know what the pew groove is? This is my seat. It matches me. Might have their name on the pew. I don't know. But if you're not maintaining your fellowship with Jesus Christ, your life is going to be a stink in the nostrils of God. If your heart's not right with God. And there's the obvious things. There's the people who begin going to church. They get saved, begin going to church, and begin doing things for the Lord. But then the world begins to take over. They get an opportunity. And I'm not going to hold you back. I'm not going to beat anybody up. This is your walk with Christ. The preacher can help. I can tell you what I see if you want. I can preach on it. But I can't walk your life for you. And you can get those opportunities and they begin to take you away a little more. And you can say, you know, I get back to Christ. I'll tell you what will happen. Because your preacher knows about it. You can get away from God and you can get so far away from God. You can get that day's journey down the road. And I tell you what, they got a day's journey. It only took them a day to lose him and to realize that they lost him. But it took that day's journey back. It took them 3 days to find him. And I tell you what, you can tell yourself, I can get back. I can pray. Yes, you can. I can ask God's forgiveness. Yes, you can. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's in the Bible. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Yes, you can sin. You begin to get away from God, though, you got to understand that walk back may not be as easy as you think. Because I tell you what, you get out in the world, you begin doing things, you begin seeing things, you allow things in, and those things begin to contaminate you. Those things begin to haunt you. Those things stay with you. At the time, it doesn't even faze you. At the time, you don't think much about it. But as you get back into God's Word, Those things come back to haunt you. When you're on your knees and you're praying to God and you're saying, Lord, I want you to use me, and the devil will bring up stuff that you've done, the devil will haunt you from one end to the other. And it makes it that much harder. Not harder for God to forgive you, not harder for God to take you back, but it makes it harder for you to get on your feet and walk in the direction toward the Lord and walk away from this. It'll ride with you. Losing Jesus. It happens when you don't even realize it. Just a little bit. It can happen in a religious environment, and by religion, I'm just saying church and all the activities that go with that. It can happen in a worldly environment, losing Jesus. How did they lose him? Number one, they assumed he was with them. How many times you go down the road and you think, you know, well, Lord's there. Maybe you ought to pray. Well, I know God will take care of things. Maybe you ought to spend a little time in his word. I know God's there. I'll go ahead and I know he's there. Lord, just please bless what we're doing here. You know, in a church we can get like that. It's we're doing this and it's for the Lord, and you know, but this is what we're going to do. You ever had a kid mop your floor with a dirty mop to do you a favor? Don't you think that might be what it's like for us? It's like, well, I appreciate your attempt, but that's double I got to do now. We get to going, we get to doing things for the Lord, and we're offering up paper dolls in the door. The Lord said, I had this for you over here. So anytime you're ready. Or I tell you what, we're too far away from being able to do this. Just, I'd be happy if you'd just come back here. They took him for granted, assumed he would always be there. He'd been with them for 12 years. This wasn't their first time going to the feast of the Passover. They'd been there many times before. They'd been there for 12 years, and they'd always had him. They'd always, always, and they took it for granted. They had a plan. They knew how to pack. They were familiar with the area. They had friends and family that had traveled with them every year. Verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days, they did what needed doing, and they were headed home. He had always been with them. As he got older, maybe he would play with their friends' kids. He was out of sight, but they knew he was there. All they had to do was call out for him. They never had to look far to find him. In the past, he'd always been somewhere. Verse 43, but Jesus stayed behind this time, and Joseph and his mother Mary didn't realize it. In the Bible, over in 2 Samuel chapter 6, they had been carrying the Ark of God around for years, for centuries. They'd had the Ark of God since the day of Moses. They'd been carrying it, and the Ark had gotten away. The Philistines had taken the Ark away, and when they sent it back, they sent it back on a new cart, but it stayed. It didn't come into Jerusalem. I didn't study this out. Y'all got to bear with me on this. But David, when bringing the cart back to Jerusalem, they said, well, we'll put it on a new cart. They used the world's method. They put it on a new cart. And as they were pushing it, and Uzzah's riding on the cart. And it was supposed to be carried by the priests. It was supposed to be carried on the poles. It was supposed to be done according to the way God said. David said, you know, we're getting the ark back to Jerusalem, and we're going to make this happen. And that ox is pulling that cart, gets along the trail and hits that bump. The ark of God begins to rock. And you're not supposed to touch the ark of God. But Uzzah reached out, and he thought he'd help God a little bit. And when his hand touched the ark of God, God struck him dead. Now, that wasn't Uzzah's fault. It kind of was. I mean, he touched the Ark of God. He wasn't supposed to, regardless. But David was the one who put it on the new cart. David was the one who did it man's way. The Philistines had sent it back on a new cart just to get rid of it because they'd been cursed by it. They sent it back and let the ox carry it, a new ox carry it back. But David used that method. He didn't use God's method. And what happened? He'd lost what God had for him. And that ark ended up staying at Obed-Edom's house for another 3 months, I think it was. And David didn't have the pleasure of having God in Jerusalem, having that ark in Jerusalem. Y'all follow me on that? That might have. I hope y'all heard that better and it went out. You have a plan for getting it done. You're familiar with everything that needs to be done. Jesus was always with you, it seemed. He was never far away. All you had to do was call for him in prayer. Something needs doing, you just get it done. You get it moving along without even realizing that you're walking for the Lord, but you're not walking with the Lord. So how did they find him? You get away from God, you lose Jesus. He doesn't lose you. He knows where you are. Quench the spirit, grieve not the spirit of God. Push him further and further until that point where I used to have a relationship with Jesus. I used to have a relationship with God. How many people do you know get out in the world and say, you know, I used to go to church when I was a kid? You lose some things when you lose Jesus. Along the way, lost blessings, loss of joy. Those are fruits of the Spirit. When you push the Spirit away, you lose it. Lost opportunities to serve. Lost opportunities to lead people to the Lord. People get saved. You may have lost your testimony in the process. Before, when you'd gotten saved and you tell people about the Lord, you know, this is what he did for me. It's a little harder to witness to somebody for this is what he did for me, but this is what I did to him. That testimony is an important thing. A testimony is something to think about when you do something, because you say, well, I'm going to get right with the Lord, but right now I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing. Okay, help yourself. But when the time comes, you go to get back with the Lord. You got to understand, it's going to be a lot harder to witness people. You've killed the testimony. You're hurting. Dare I say, you're hurting your Savior. I mean, let's just put it honest. Jesus died on the cross. He came down. He lived for 33 years as God in man, living in dirt, sucking up dust, living among sinful men, being reviled, being beaten, being spit on, being nailed to the cross. And we do despite to the grace of God. And say, oh, you're being mean, preacher. I don't know. It depends on where you are in your walk. I can't walk your walk for you. But have you lost Jesus? Have you reached that point where you lost Jesus? Do you look back to another day and you say, you know, there was a time in my life when I was walking close to the Lord, but I'm just not there now. It's like Oliver B. Green said, if your phone's ringing, answer it. You say that nowadays, everybody look down at their phone. Lost opportunities to lead people to the Lord. You know what they did when they saw him? They blamed him. People blame God. Well, God did this and God did that. God didn't answer this prayer. God didn't answer that prayer. And it's like, you lost him. Where did you lose him? They had to go back to where they had lost him. And she blamed him. She says, son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. People blame God. I was doing this great work and you allowed it to fail. They had to be reminded of some things. Or somebody's life looks like a Jerry Springer show or something and they blame God for it. It's not God's fault. Jesus said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Where did you lose him? This is why I wrinkle the corners. Be careful you don't get ahead of God when you're doing things. Be mindful. The Bible has numerous warnings. We'll be looking at them, I guess. The Bible has warnings. The Bible tells us to be holy, for I am holy. The Bible tells you about walking that Christian path, about increasing in the knowledge, the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Learning more about your Savior. Learning more by that Bible. But it's not just knowledge to get the pointy head. It's not knowledge to be able to win the Bible trivia game. This is knowledge to go to the heart. Lord, what would you have me to know? Speak to my heart, Lord. Miss Maxine, would you come up? I'll tell you something else. After they lost Jesus and after they went through that time going back to find him, if y'all stand, when they found him, they learned not to lose him. Has God spoken to your heart today? Miss Maxine is going to play for a little bit. This is your opportunity. I don't give hard altar calls. Maybe I should. I don't know. I can't beg people to come down. And it's not coming down that saves you. If somebody can come down with their heart just as cold as stone, come down to the altar, it won't mean nothing. But has God spoken to your heart? Speak to him. You don't know the answer. You don't know how to overcome. Just be honest. Lord, I don't even want to give up. That doesn't mean that you go after him with a rebellious heart, but I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. If you're in sin, Lord, help me to overcome. Lord, I need you. I can't do it. The first step in that is knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're not part of the family until you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't make it to heaven on your own. You can't do enough good works. You've already violated the Ten Commandments. You've broken God's law. You stand before God on the day of judgment. Are you going to be guilty or innocent? And if you're guilty, where will you go? Has there been a moment in your life, has there been a time when you've turned yourself over to Jesus Christ when you said, I can't do it? Understand that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins. There's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you won't make it any other way, you won't make it. You want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus. You want to go to hell? Just keep doing what you're doing. And if you have had that moment and you've trusted Jesus, has God spoken to your heart? Just go back to where you lost him. Back to your knees in prayer. Turn to him. Turn it over to him. While she plays.